We're doing the Yaakov on Brachos. We're up to Daf Samach Gimel in the regular editions. And we'll start again from the Gemara. The Mishnah had said that when they made blessings in the temple, so they used to say, blessed is Hashem from this world to that world. And then the people would answer, in the temple, they used to say, Boshen Kon Machtol Olam Ved. They wouldn't even answer Amen. So the Gemara asked, how do you know you don't answer Amen in the temple? The Gemara quotes a story in Nehemiah that it says they made a blessing there, and everyone there, that's what they responded, Boshen Kon Machtol Olam Ved. So you see that's how it works in the temple. So the rabbis instituted that a person greet his friend with God's name. And then the Mishnah quoted different supports for that. One is the story of Ruth, that Boaz greets the harvesters and says, God be with you. The next is the story in Judges, where the angel greets Gidon and says, Hashem imecha gibor echayel, God is with you, brave one. And finally, the Mishnah quoted a verse that says, don't mock your old mother. So what's going on? So, Maiva Omer, why did the Mishnah quote so many verses? You might say, Boaz, no. I know he was the head of the generation, but maybe he himself chose to greet the harvesters with God's name. Tashma Shemim Chagibor Chayil. So you see, by Gidon, same generation approximately, you see the angel greets Gidon and says, God is with you. You might say, well, the angel? Yeah, okay, the angel was telling Gidon a message. God is with you, go save the Jewish people. He was saying something. Who says that's a greeting? That's why the Mishnah says, don't mock your old mother. That look at the elders of your generation. What do you think? Boaz was just doing whatever he thought he should do. He was doing what was institutionalized for everyone to do. So don't mock your old mother is a way of saying don't mock the elders of the generation. And then the Mishnah says, the final verse is, there are times where in honor of Hashem we have to do things to prevent the annulment of the Torah. So one of the things the rabbis gauged at that time was that they had to incorporate God into people's lives. And the way to do it was to greet people with God's name. Amar Rava, Haikra mereshe lesefe midrash, mesefe lereshe midrash. Rava says this verse can be analyzed, read in correct order, from beginning to end, and from end to beginning as well. Mereshe lesefe midrash, you could analyze it, reading it, the correct way from beginning to end. How do you read it? It says, Eit la'asot la'shem. There's a time where you have to do unusual things in the name of Hashem. Why? Because matam mishum eferu torotecha. Because you see that people are annulling the Torah totally. There are times where you have to fight those that transgress the ways of Hashem. Eit la'asot la'shem, there's a time to stand up on behalf of Hashem's name against teferu torotecha, against those people who annul the Torah. Sometimes you have to fight Hashem's wars. Nisefe l'reishe midrash, it could also be understood in reverse order, and that is heferu torotecha. Those that want to do your will, they have annulled your Torah. Matam, why did they do that? Mishum eit la'asot la'shem. There's a time where you have to stand up on behalf of Hashem, even if it involves annulling something in the Torah. How so? So you have the prophet Eliyahu. Hashem told him, go bring a sacrifice on Mount Carmel. And he brought a sacrifice, and all the people were convinced that Hashem is the leader of the world, because they saw the fire coming down from heaven, etc. So it was prohibited to bring sacrifices outside the temple. How could he do such a thing? Hashem told him to do it. Fine, but how did he know that when Hashem tells him something that contradicts the Torah, he's supposed to listen? Maybe he's supposed to say, Hashem, I'm sorry, I can't. Your Torah says, no sacrifices outside the temple. Ah, no, here you see. Heferu Torahtecha, sometimes you do an act that seems to annul the Torah, okay? It has to be someone like the leader of Israel, like Eliyahu, and it's done as an eight lasot l'Hashem, a time where you have to do on behalf of Hashem. Tanya, Hillel l'Zaken Omer. Now we're going to get tremendous advice. Hillel the elder says, Bishat hamechansim pazir. When there's a time that people are holding in, there isn't enough Torah being taught, you scatter. When everyone else is selling, you buy. When everyone else is buying, you sell. It's a fantastic financial advice. I noticed this on I don't know if I should say which, one of the economical, one of the financial online news sources. So every time they say that something's going up, you could rest assured the next day it's going down. And every time they say, oh, it's going down, you could rest assured the next day it's going up. I've noticed this already for the course of 2 or 3 years, and I'm tempted to start to try that as an investment strategy. So far it's been very consistent, because they only report what's happened today and yesterday. By the time it's happened for 3 or 4 days that they're reporting it, the tide has changed. If you see a generation that loves Torah, pazer, scatter your Torah, teach. As the verse says, you have those who scatter and then more and more is amassed. Don't worry, you're not going to lose, you'll gain by it. And if you see a generation that is not fond of Torah, kanes, take in your Torah. Don't give your Torah freely. You're going to be out there begging people to hear your words of wisdom? No, you're deriding the Torah. And on that it says, "Shene'emar et la'asot l'Hashem eferu Torah." There's a time where you have to do on behalf of Hashem, and even though it's contradictory to the ideology of the Torah to withhold Torah, to keep it for yourself, there's a time when Heferu Torah Techa, Hillel says, when everyone's annulling the Torah and no one's interested, so then the best thing you could do for the Torah is to cherish it and keep it as your own private, treasured gem. Darash Bar Kafra, Zalat Kfotz Knei Mina. If you see that the price of the market is cheap, go buy. Ba'atar delet gavar taman heve gavar. You're in a place where there are no men, you be the man. So, Bar Kafra is teaching us economics. You buy something worthwhile, with time its price will go up. You want an investment, look for something cheap. In time it'll go up. The question is, do you have that time? A businessman told me he bought a tremendous lot in Brooklyn and he was going to make a lot of money, but he had to pay his creditors and he had to sell the lot. 3 years later he would have made $20-30 million on that lot, but he couldn't hold on to it long enough to pay his creditors. He was right in his analysis. He just couldn't hold on to it long enough. And that's part of what a person has to calculate. What is the cost of holding on to it? I need a storage house, meaning theoretically, let's say you find cheap grain. So you'll say, okay, grain's going to go up now that it's cheap. Fine. First of all, that's the great wisdom Chazal taught us. The tendency of people is that when things are bad, they think they'll always be bad. When things are good, they think they'll always be good. And Chazal always told us, no, realize that times change. So if something's cheap, it'll go up. But you have to be able to hold on to it till it goes up. And that's not always possible. Okay, we'll have to pick up here, Mizachim, next time.